Well, grab your Bibles this morning and turn to Revelation chapter 21 as we conclude our series. We've been looking at events that deal with the end of time for a few weeks now. We began by seeing the beauty of the rapture and how one day we will be reunited with the ones that we have loved and lost. We then viewed the return of Jesus when he came back down, dealt with the false prophet, dealt with the beast, and dealt with the army that was coming against him. We then saw the reign of Jesus where he ruled on earth for 1,000 years. And those of us that have given our lives to Christ were able to rule and reign with him. Then last week we looked at the rewards or lack thereof based on whether we stand before the great white throne or the judgment seat of Christ. And so today we will end our journey as we look at the rest that comes to those who have given their heart and their life to Christ. Now, as we look at this passage today, this is hope for those that know Jesus. For those who do not know Jesus, you won't be here. You've already been dealt with and thrown into the lake of fire, as we saw 2 weeks ago. This is hope for those that have given their heart and their life to Jesus, that have surrendered completely and totally to him. So let us find the hope and the peace and the rest that's coming our way when we know Jesus. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no pain, for the former things have passed away. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful text that you give to us in Revelation, showing us the promise of our future inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would help me to speak this passage in truth and in love. I pray that each and every one of us would be encouraged and see the hope that we have because of Jesus, and that we would love him even more and more because of it. We thank you and we love you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. So as we look at this text, the first thing that we see is John says that he sees a new heaven and a new earth. Now, we need to remember that in the Greek and the Hebrew language, using the word heaven doesn't always mean the abode of God. It can simply mean sky. And so when it talks about the heaven and the earth, we could be talking about sky and land. When we looked a couple weeks ago, we saw when the great white throne came down, heaven and earth fled from the presence of God. So the old heaven and the old earth, as we know it, has been dealt with. And as we think about that, that's a good thing. Heaven and earth are gone. Satan, the beast, and the false prophet have been cast into the lake of fire. All those who opposed God have been judged and cast into the lake of fire as well. And so John now sees this new heaven and new earth, which leads to the question, why do we need a new heaven and a new earth? Well, the first reason we need a new heaven and a new earth is because everything that has a beginning has an end. The earth clearly has a beginning. There was a point in time when the earth began. Therefore, there's a point in time when the earth will end. Even science will tell you that earth is coming to an end. The second thing is, earth is twisted. This world's crazy. It's in utter chaos. The world is filled with sexual immorality. Many people are addicted to pornography. Children are exploited. And the list could go on and on and on to the things that this world does that goes against the Word of God. And if it's not enough, turn on the news for a few minutes. And you will see the chaos that's in this world. You will see hate. You will see riots. You will see deceit. And once again, the list could go on and on as to the chaos that our world is in. We live in a corrupt world. It's not good. And it's terrible because people are evil. And we see that wickedness everywhere we look. The earth needs a makeover. And a day is coming when there will be a new earth. And we won't have these problems in this new earth because sin and temptation will be gone. Because when the judgment occurs, when the great white throne and the judgment seat of Christ occurs, when those that have sinned against holy God are dealt with and cast into the lake of fire, sin will be no more. So this new heaven and this new earth is going to be incredible because there will not be sin. Because the truth of nature is, as long as you and I can sin, we will. As long as we have the ability to sin, we will. Because we are fallen, failed humanity. That's why we needed Jesus. If we could get to the point where we didn't sin, we wouldn't need Jesus. If we could work for our salvation, we wouldn't need Jesus. If we could earn our salvation by doing good deeds, we wouldn't need Jesus. And so, sin won't be there. It's gone. When Jesus gave his life on the cross, he saved us from the penalty of sin and the power of sin. And here is where we're saved from the presence of sin. It won't be no more. When we look at the earth today, it can cause us to wonder and doubt the goodness of God as we see all the evil and chaos. Sometimes we look at the news and we'll be like, God, where are you? Sometimes we look at things going on in the world and we're like, God, what's going on? But this passage reminds us of our future, the hope to come, the hope that this will not always be the case. Soon, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and it will be perfect, and it will be peaceful, and we'll be able to rest. Not only is there a new heaven and earth, but we also see a new Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a very special city for the people of Israel. It was known for its fortifications. It was known as the capital city of Israel. It is where the Temple of Solomon would be built. It's where many prophets would have been killed, and even Jesus himself was killed. It was guarded and protected by walls. The people of Israel took great pride in the city of Jerusalem. It was a city of incredible beauty and great honor. New Jerusalem is going to be even more beautiful. I love this description that we see of the New Jerusalem. It says, he then carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, arrayed with God's glory. Her radiance was like a precious jewel, like a jasper stone clear as crystal. The city had massive high wall with 12 gates. 12 angels were at the gates. The names of the 12 tribes of Israel's sons were inscribed on the gates. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. The city wall had 12 foundations, and the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb were on the foundations. This is a beautiful home. And if you continue to read, you read about the size of a massive pearl. You read about the different stones and the different jewels that's going to be there. And this is the home that you and I, who have given our hearts and our lives to Jesus, will one day live in. We will have a new home. And in that we find hope. The second thing that we see in our text is not only do we have a new home, but we have a new holiness. As the text says in verse 3, I love this. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle or the dwelling of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. God is holy. Holy means other than, different, set apart. God is perfect. Because he is holy, because he is perfect, because he is different, he deserves our honor and our praise. He deserves our worship. He deserves for us to cry out to Him, giving Him honor, giving Him glory, and giving Him praise for everything He has done. A day is coming when you and I who know Jesus will get to live with perfect, holy God. A day is coming when we will live in His presence for all eternity. In this new heaven and earth, God will dwell among us. This will be the best part of our future home, living in the presence of God. The true beauty of heaven is not the city of gold. The true beauty of heaven, contrary to popular belief, is not even seeing the loved ones that we've lost that have went on ahead of us. That's a good thing, but that's not the best part about heaven. And if that's the reason why you and I want to go to heaven, then we've got it all wrong. The reason to go to heaven is to come into the presence of Almighty Creator God and get to live and be with Him for all eternity. The best part of heaven is we get to be with Jesus. The best part of heaven is that we get to see Jesus face to face. Listen to what some people have to say about this. Charles Spurgeon said, "There cannot be heaven without Christ. He is the sum total of bliss, the fountain from which heaven flows, the element which heaven is composed. Christ is heaven, and heaven is Christ." I love that. From the Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon. One commentary says, "The desire to be in the presence of God should be our strongest desire here on earth and the focus of all of our worship." The best part of heaven is Jesus. The best part of heaven is you and I get to be with our Lord and Savior who gave His life on the cross. The relationship that was lost in the garden will finally be restored. When we go all the way back to the garden, God dwelt among Adam and Eve. And when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the relationship was split. Then Jesus came and died on the cross. So now you and I have complete access to God through Jesus. We don't have to go through priests. We don't have to go through Mary. We have direct access to God through Jesus Christ. And a day is coming when we will be forever in the presence of Jesus. And that, my dear friends, is hope. We will see Him face to face. No sin, no temptation, no pain, no suffering, just Jesus. Right now, you and I have the Spirit of God living in us, which is incredible. One of the greatest gifts that you and I have been given when we give our heart and our life to Christ is the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells in us and lives in us. And what I'm about to say, I do not want to downplay the role of the Holy Spirit in any way. Because without the Holy Spirit, we could do nothing. But Scripture tells us that the Spirit is just the down payment of what is to come. And if the Spirit, as magnificent and wonderful as He is the down payment, imagine how incredible this future with God is going to be. 2 Corinthians tells us He has put His seal on us and given us the Spirit in our heart as a down payment. 2 Corinthians 5 says, "Now the one who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a down payment." Ephesians tells us the Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise and the glory. The Holy Spirit is incredible. The Holy Spirit is awesome. And in all honesty, we need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit a lot better than we do. We need to hear the Holy Spirit. We need to let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us. And the Holy Spirit is God speaking into us. But that is a down payment, showing us just how grand and great and magnificent and wonderful heaven is going to be like. Warren Wiersbe says it well. He says, "Even though God dwells in believers today by His Spirit, we still have not begun to understand God or fellowship with Him as we would like. But one day We shall dwell in God's presence and enjoy Him forever. When God makes all things new, we get a new home. We get a new holiness where we will be in the presence of Holy God. And we get a new healing. Verse 4 says, oh, this is beautiful. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. God will wipe away the tears from our eyes. The world's creator, the one who breathed life into us, will wipe the tears from our eyes. Some of us have shed a lot of tears. Some of us have shed so many tears that we've probably felt like we don't have any tears left to shed. A day is coming when God's going to wipe those tears away. Not an angel. Not one of the apostles. Not one of the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel. But God Himself is going to wipe away the tears from our eyes. There will be no more death. Every single one of us has been touched by death in some way. Every single one of us has lost loved ones. We've lost people dear to us. We've lost people that we care about. It's clear to see that our bodies get old. And as they get older, they can do less and less. And eventually these bodies decay and die. When we get to heaven, we will have a new body. One that does not get old. One that does not ache. One that does not get infected by cancer. One that does not get infected by weaknesses and ailments. One that doesn't struggle to get up in the morning. One that doesn't deal with depression or anxiety or sadness or hurt or pain or suffering of any kind. We will get a body that is completely and totally perfect. We don't even need to exercise. It will be awesome. Completely and totally perfect. And it will not go bad because there will not be sin. As we saw in the first sermon, when we looked at the rapture, when we are reunited with our loved ones in the air, they are reunited with their perfected bodies, and we are changed and given our perfected bodies. No sin. So that means no shame. No sin. So that means no pain. No sin. So that means no suffering. Crying will be gone because we'll have no reason to cry anymore. We will be in the presence of Holy God. And as I said a few minutes ago, some have cried more tears than we can count. But when this day comes, we will cry no more. All the tears will be gone and pain will be gone. Imagine life without pain and suffering. I know I don't normally ask you to do this, but I want to ask you guys to raise your hand about something here in just a second. I want anyone in here who has never experienced any physical pain whatsoever to raise their hand. That's the point. Every single one of us in some way or the other has experienced physical pain. Whether it's been through breaking a bone, whether it's been through falling down, whether it's been through the pain that somebody else causes, emotional pain. Because if we're honest, emotional pain can hurt more than physical pain sometimes. And so every single one of us in some way, shape, or form have been impacted and affected by pain. Doesn't matter how young we are or how old we are, we've all experienced pain. Now, some have experienced more pain than others. Some have experienced more physical pain than others. Some have experienced more spiritual pain than others. Some have experienced more emotional pain than others. But when this day comes, all pain is gone. Physical pain, gone. Spiritual pain, gone. Emotional pain, gone. We hurt over family, we hurt over money, we hurt over school, we hurt over health. My dear friends, suffering is a part of life. C.S. Lewis said, we are promised sufferings. They were part of the program. We were even told, blessed are they that mourn. Philippians 1 tells us, for it has been granted to you on Christ's behalf, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for Him. 2 Timothy tells us, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. 1 Peter tells us, dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes upon you to test you as if something unusual are happening to you. Instead, rejoice as you share in the sufferings of Christ so that you may also rejoice with great joy when His glory is revealed. John 16, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world. We are promised suffering. I have no clue where this health, wealth, and prosperity gospel came from. I have no clue where people got this idea that if you're a good person, if you do good works, if you do good things, then bad things won't happen to you. Clearly, they've never read the Bible. Because the Bible clearly shows us multiple times, even Jesus Himself said, we will experience suffering. Here we won't. In the new heaven and the new earth, there will be no suffering. In the new heaven and the new earth, there will be no pain. Why? Because sin is gone. Sin is what leads to suffering. And when sin leaves this earth, so does suffering. And what's incredible about this is the curse will be completely reversed. In Genesis chapter 3, pain enters into the world because man rebelled against God. In Revelation 21, pain no longer exists because of Jesus and what He did on the cross. The curse is gone, finished, done for. There will be no pain. Complete and total restoration has come for those in Christ. Theologian J.I. Packer says, there will be no sin in heaven, for those who are in heaven will not have it in them to sin anymore. That's awesome. Billy Graham, great evangelist, said, heaven will be the perfection we have always longed for. All the things that made earth unlovely and tragic will be absent in heaven. My dear friends, those that have given their lives to Christ, this is our future. This is the rest that we have. So I ask you today, what tears do you need to be wiped away? You may have many tears in your life. You may have sorrow upon sorrow. You may be hurting and need healing. I'm here today to tell you that a day is coming when you will receive perfect healing and rest. All the tears you are crying are gone. All the pain you feel is gone. All the bad in this world is gone. This, my dear friends, is the hope of our rest in Jesus, where we will have a new home, a new holiness, and a new healing in Jesus. Today, I have for us a message of hope and rest. And hope, as seen in the Bible, is assurance. It's promised. It's not like people today that'll be watching the Super Bowl that's like, I hope my team wins, not knowing who's going to win in the end. The hope that we see in the Bible is it's going to happen because God promised it would. It's an assurance. We know that for those in Christ, this is our future. And it looks bright. But I also must do my duty. as a preacher of the gospel and warn that those who do not know Christ, this is not your future. Your future is the lake of fire that we looked at 2 weeks ago. But it doesn't have to be. Because today, you can give your heart and your life to Christ. Today, you can surrender to Jesus. So I ask, do you know Jesus today as your Savior? Do you know Him as your Savior? If not, will you come? And the second thing I ask is, do you understand the hope that is in your future to rest? Do you understand what's waiting for you when you know Jesus? Because it's peace and hope. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your incredible grace, love, and mercy. We thank you for the privilege to come and hear the beauty of our future home. Lord, we're so grateful for the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem and the city that we will live in where there will be no pain, no suffering, no tears, just joy with Jesus for all eternity. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We give this time to you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen.